Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, we ask you to join us here in this place this evening, and we trust that you are here among us. May my words be your words, and all of our thoughts, your thoughts. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes I dream that he is me. You've got to see that's how I dream to be. I dream I move, I dream I groove, like Mike, if I could be like Mike. Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? This is an old commercial, Gatorade, I believe, Michael Jordan starring. I dream I move, I dream I groove like Mike, if I could be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. When I was a kid, the person everyone wanted to be was Michael Jordan. As I prepare for my hours and hours of watching the Olympics this summer, I'm preparing to hear every athlete, when they're interviewed, talk about who they're imitating, who they grew up wanting to be like, whatever athlete was in their sport that they grew up emulating, that they wanted to be. We are all imitators in this way. We want to be like Mike. Or if not Mike, we want to be like Billy Graham or Rosa Parks or Jasper Johns or John Irving or Steve Jobs or maybe even Jesus Christ, dare I say it. As Homer Simpson said, I'm sort of like Jesus, but not in a blasphemous way. But isn't that the ultimate example? Isn't that who we Christians often find ourselves trying to emulate? Jesus Christ, the man himself. This is why people wear what would Jesus do bracelets, right? They're trying to get some help in their efforts to imitate Christ. They come up to a decision and look at their wrist and remember, oh, I should do what Jesus would do. This is because we are all imitators. And it seems like imitating Jesus Christ is a good thing to do. After all, in Ephesians, we read that we are to be imitators of God. Therefore, it says, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. Now, for all of the humans that we look up to, that we want to emulate, at least we have a shot, right? We can copy the down-home preaching style of Billy Graham, the social vision of Rosa Parks, the poetic prose of John Irving, even the technical brilliance of Steve Jobs, if we work really hard at it. We sort of know what it means to be like these people. But what on earth could it mean to be an imitator of God? Well, as you might imagine, the author of Ephesians, after asking us to imitate God, attempts to tell us. He says, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, for such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, be an imitator of God. We can sort of translate that to be good, be really good. Jesus says as much in the Sermon on the Mount when he says that if you want to be part of God's family, you have to be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48, as I've said, the worst verse in the Bible. Be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be an imitator of God, says Jesus. Imitate his goodness. But just being good isn't enough. You have to be perfect. Now, nobody thinks that perfection is actually attainable. We'd all say, well, I'm not perfect. So we turn our imitations elsewhere. Who is it that you imitate? Is it your parents? Or how about Is it the opposite of your parents? Your invention of in other words, of how you wish your parents had been? It's an imitation either way, right? An example that you're trying to live up to. Are you imitating somebody at work? Someone who always says the right thing, always seems to be in the right place at the right time, or always maybe just seems to wear the right things with the other right things at the right time and always look put together? This is what I worry about in my own life. Maybe you're imitating the father of the family down the block. You know, the one whose kids always seem so happy and so willing to do what he asks them to do. The one who seems to have such an open and honest and caring relationship with his wife. Or maybe you're going the other way. Are you imitating the opposite of your sister, who is so put together, who already owns a home and a minivan and has an MBA? Is that why you're learning the sitar and living in a tent in Sedona? We're all imitating something. Whoever we're imitating, whether it's someone real or someone imagined, we all set up these examples for ourselves. Of course, the tragedy of this practice is that this kind of imitating can't actually get us any peace. More often than not, we fail to live up even to this lowered earthly standard. We're not as successful as our parents. We're not able to avoid the pitfalls of the previous generation like we promised ourselves we would. And even if we can convince ourselves that we've done an adequate imitation, these worldly examples are just a hollow echo of the true standard to which we are called. Be imitators of God, says Jesus. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's only in perfectly imitating Christ that we might hear God say those coveted words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But that's not the gospel, is it? The Bible says, in fact, that if righteousness were to come by the law, in other words, this perfect obedience, this perfect imitation of Christ, then Jesus died to no purpose. In other words, Christ went to the cross and announced, "It is finished," to bring an end to all this striving, to bring an end to all this imitating, to assure us that no more work is required, that we can take off our "what would Jesus do" bracelets forever. We hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," not because of the quality of our Jesus imitation, but on account of what Jesus has accomplished for us. But now, here comes Paul, I don't know if you caught it, writing in Philippians, seemingly undercutting everything I've just said. He doesn't seem to be pointing to Christ at all. In fact, he tells us to imitate him. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have, not in Christ, in us, Paul and the other apostles." This seems to be the height of self-congratulation, right? Take your eyes off Jesus and set them on me. Paul must think pretty highly of himself if he's willing to write this to a church full of Christians. "Brothers and sisters, imitate me." So what is Paul doing here? Is he telling us to take off our "what would Jesus do" bracelets only to put on a "what would Paul do" one? Well, yes, actually, but not in the way that you might think. If we look closer at what Paul is saying, we'll see that he is, in fact, not giving us the additional burden of imitating him, but he's lifting the burden of imitation off of our shoulders completely. He writes, "Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us." But keep listening. Our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Paul never mentions anything good about himself that we are supposed to copy. In fact, he's constantly referring to himself as in a state of need. Our citizenship is in heaven, he says. It is from there that we are expecting a Savior. And then he says this incredible thing, that he will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. Our humiliation, Christ's glory. So how is it that Paul wants us to imitate him? Is he selling Livestrong? No. Paul is selling give up bracelets. He might as well be saying, stop trying to imitate everyone you look up to, and especially stop trying to imitate Jesus. You can't do it, says St. Paul. It's out of your reach. It's just making your life hurt, your body of humiliation. Instead, he says, imitate me and give up completely. Wait for a Savior. He will take the humiliation that you feel, having failed to live up to expectations, having failed in your imitation of whoever it is you're imitating, especially Jesus Christ. He will take this body of humiliation and transform it into Christ's body of glory. We all have these quests in our lives, whoever we're imitating. We might call our quest to live up to these examples, whether it's Billy Graham or Rosa Parks or John Irving or Steve Jobs or Jesus Christ or whoever, we might call these our quests for glory. Martin Luther once wrote that these quests for glory could never be satisfied, that no matter how much we worked, we'd never feel like we got there. Luther said, because they can never be satisfied, they must instead be extinguished. The only way is to give up. The quest to live up to our idols, be they artist, preacher, visionary, or God himself, are never satisfied. They must be extinguished, put out, given up. So let's do that this evening. Let's, for a moment, give up on imitating. Let's imitate Paul and give up. Let's wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. He will save us. Amen.